Thank you, Jesus.
Aniasha Pateliase Kafante Alihashta Fefafante Liesa Franta la Manaste Kaliada Bosta Fefantios to Prante la Macaste Vrente la Maista Anata Afianta Maista Frantu Kefion to come into you, Elasi Frantu Hopona Safantia Sesasantia Falamaste Frente la Ganosta. For there is the opening of our life, even the flow, the river of our life, the dancing, the movement, the flowing of life between the Father and the Son, between the Father and the Son, between the Father and the Son. We will come to give that flow even into you. We bring you up to come even into this conversation and into this fellowship of life. For it is the reality of life that man was made for. For we have come to welcome you and bring you to come and to begin to flow like we do. Like I and my Father, we are one. We want to bring you even into that oneness, even into that oneness, even into that fellowship, even into the followership, the flowing. We are flowing into you. We are flowing into you. So open up your heart. Open up and let this river of our life carry you and bring you up to us. We want to come into oneness just as I am in my Father and my Father is in me. I want you to be even in me and I in you. That is our flow. That is our flow. I bring my flow. I want to cut your heart and flow into you. And flow into you. That lise fanti maso fantelita lai katoni anamase santi. That I will begin to write my laws and put them in your heart. I will inscribe them. You will bleed, but allow the flow. This is how we flow. This is how I will flow even into you. For I will write my laws upon your heart, and I will put them in your mind. And no one will say, "Not the Lord," for you will be, I will be your God, and you will be my people. This is my flow. I've come to flow, to flow, to flow, to enter into you. To enter into you, that you may enter into me. This is the great rest. I am your rest. I am your rest. I am flowing. We have come for to come to your heart and to dwell in your heart, says the Spirit of the Lord. Fate, kehate, fefefelita, hani has, kenyan to fantia, hantian tania namase, hantian doza. Even the doors, even the great doors, the great and mighty doors are open up to you. Doors of everlasting, doors of life and life abundance. doors of everlasting life are open to you. They are great, great and mighty doors that have been opened to you. They have been opened to you. There is a great entrance, even many, 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 many entrances, many doors, for it's a baptism. It is a baptism into the Father, into baptism, 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 even into names, even into name, even into my name, I'm baptizing you. I've come to baptize you, to baptize and even to seal with my name, to baptize you and seal. It is doors of everlasting, the everlasting doors, the everlasting doors are open, for yet you have passed through doors. You have been kept in chains and you've been kept in bars of sunder, but I'm coming. I am coming to let you out and bring you in, even into these great doors that are open to you. For you are you are a generation with help, with great help. For they that are with you are more than you can imagine. For Lisa Pranta Legadegade Ratosa, for we are many with you, for to grant you access even to these doors, to lead you in the way to these doors. For you are heirs of those of salvation. You are heirs of salvation. So it is open to you. It is open to you. And we are here to help. We are here to help. We are here to help. For we bring healing. We bring healing. 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 To see and walk. To see and to walk and to enter these doors. We bring help. We bring access. We bring these doors and many, 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 many to your souls, wherever you may be. There is an access to you. There is an entrance to you. So submit and yield to the help and enter through this door. Pass through these doors, for these doors are open. It is freely given by your Father. It is freely given, for he has come to give life. For it is time appointed of the Father for the doors to be open.
Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Or let's read from verse 18. Say that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. That which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it to them. It is manifest in them. Hallelujah. It is that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God had showed it to them. So it's one thing to see something. The purpose of seeing is to make that thing that is seen to be manifest in you, right? To be manifest in you means that they received the sight of it. It's not that they didn't just catch a glimpse of it. And it's because of this that the wrath of God is manifest, is being revealed from heaven against them. The wrath of God is not going to be revealed just because you saw God in a form, just vaguely, and stick to unrighteousness. Praise God. That's not enough to cause God's wrath to be revealed. But when a person has gone to a point where you've journeyed with sight, because these beings are not ordinary beings, the one they are speaking about here. They are people who have actually journeyed with sight. They receive sight to a point where the sight has become abundant to produce an inward manifestation. You know, there is what you call an inward manifestation of sight. I don't mean that they came into the inheritance of the things which they saw, But I mean that the sight was assembled in them. Praise God. You know, sight has metamorphosis. Do you realize that? Especially when you're talking about the seeing of spiritual things. The way you see spiritual things is not the way you see natural things, because spiritual things are more complex than natural things. A natural thing can just be one thing like this. But when they say this, when they say there's something called bottle in the spirit, right? And that word for bottle is, the Bible says vessel. It's a vessel, right? Vessel. The New Testament, Jesus himself taught about vessel. Or he spoke about vessel for either water, vessel for oils. Praise God. What you see, that's a vessel, is just something like this. But what they call a vessel can be a soul, right? It's a, it can be a whole soul or a department of the soul. Praise God. And that, but that thing can also be seen. You can see a spiritual vessel, and you can see it in its different dimensions, right? That is the way that spiritual things, especially the things of God, are inwardly captured as sight, are in the, it's through the operation of, best way I can put it is what you call manifold wisdom. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter, oh, was saying that. Praise God. Ephesians, chapter 3. Says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known, that unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. The manifold word. Unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. The manifold. So what he called the manifold wisdom of God. So you know that God's wisdom has many folds. And if you want to learn God, you have to be ready for many-folded wisdom. Right? That it's not just one fold. It's not just one fold. You have wisdom of what? Manifold. So to bring forth the manifestation of sight fully, for sight to be fully manifest, you must come into the manifolds of the wisdom that is constructing that. These are the reasons why spiritual things are hard to see, really. Sometimes you think you've seen something spiritual, but you've not really seen it. And one of the way you know that you've not really seen something that's spiritual is that you can't take the sight with you. Do you know that? It's possible to see something. That's what you call a glimpse. Right? A glimpse. A glimpse. Especially in the divine realm, in the divine order, sight is more difficult in divine, anything that has to do with God himself. The effort of sight becomes a bit more complex than below God. Seeing God and seeing other things are not the same. Right? When they want a soul to begin to see God, that soul must have things. You must have capacity. You must have faculties that have the ability to be able to capture the glimpse of God. And to retain the glimpse of God. Hallelujah. The reason why is it that way is because of the kind of thing. When you're looking into God, you're actually looking at laws of a being. It's the laws of an entity. Laws of those. And those are laws are alive. They have motions. They have movement. They have characteristic. And they have a quality which is to them, which is what you call perfection. Hallelujah. Is called what? Called perfection. And perfection is a complex thing by nature, by definition. If perfection is easy, everything will be perfect. To attain perfection in any, sometimes So you can try, actually in the natural, to get something 100% perfect is almost impossible. You can get to 95%, 94%, 95%, 96% to get to perfection. Hallelujah. It takes a lot of wisdom. The difficulty of perfection is the amount of wisdom necessary. Do you agree? Now, do you know that in this present world, there is not perfection is an impossibility. It's because there is not enough wisdom in the present for perfection. That's why nothing can be perfect. So, there is an order of perfect things. That order of perfect things is in God. It's actually, perfection is a property of God. Perfect. To make something perfect is actually takes a high wisdom. Hallelujah. Amen. So that law, so the specialty, what makes God's law and his nature, things about him, anything that has to do with the divine, with God, what makes them special are their perfectness, their perfect property. You see, God's spirit operates perfectly. That's what he called the perfect law of liberty that James was speaking about. He said that whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and can he continue? He's in continuing. The reason for continuing when you look is so that you can have the what for what you've seen to be manifest in you as sight. Or what you or that so that what you've seen can be assembled in you as sight so that you can take it away. Because if you can't, if that doesn't happen, you will look and you'll be a forgetful what hearer or looker. Right? Praise God. Also look at into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, that then this man shall be what? Blessed in what he does. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you following what I'm saying to you? Yes, sir. Amen. So there's a way that you, there's a way you see the things of God to be blessed by them. Right? You don't look and remove your eyes just like that without receiving the, now the manifestation, I'm talking about manifestation of sight first. I'm not saying the manifestation of the thing yet. Because for the thing to be manifest, it must be a doer of the work. It's in the doing of the work. That's where you actually be blessed. Praise God. But before you become a doer, you must first have a what? A kind of manifestation on the inside. Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's quickly go back to Romans. So he says that, for that which may be known of God is manifest in them. I was just saying that to prove to you that these people, they came into an enhanced, what they didn't just have glimpses of things of God. A glimpse of things of God is not enough to call the wrath of God. The wrath of God pursues God's stuff. Like if you glimpse and go away, you don't nothing. When they check you, you've not taken anything from him. You actually forgot what you just saw. Right, but when you behold enough that what those things that you've seen have been assembled in you, has magneted your inward comprehension, that when you go away, you are sleeping, you see them. When you wake up, you see them. When you are doing other things, you are seeing them. It means those things have been, you've taken possession of that sight. And that means that you've caught something that belongs to somebody. Right? That was the issue with these guys. You've taken something that belongs to somebody, things of God. And the Bible says they held the truth. Let's see that they who hold the truth. So their holding of the truth was not in terms of they are doing the truth. For what does it mean to hold the truth in unrighteousness? Of course, what is righteousness? Is that it is he that doeth righteousness. Is what? So when you say really rotting of righteousness, it has to do with doing. That you, for you to be righteous, it means that you have done righteousness. Praise God. Seeing doesn't make you righteous. Doing makes you righteous. Praise God. So these guys, they have, there's a way you can hold the truth. Holding truth, whole truth can be held as sight. That's what the Bible calls they call it the knowledge of the truth. Right? He spoke about those who are ever learning. So the purpose of learning is to come into what? The knowledge of the truth. What is the knowledge of the truth? It's not the glimpse of the truth. While they are learning, they're catching glimpses, but they are not able to do what? To come into the knowledge of the truth. Knowledge is actually a manifestation of sight. Or when what you've caught, you've been glimpsing at, begins to be manifest in you and begins to be assembled in your soul in such a way that you have an inward proximity to an access to that understanding in a way that you don't have to externally go and fetch it every time. That inside you, it is there. And you get that's when when you got to that state, you now have knowledge. Are you seeing that? You now have what? That's what you call knowledge. So knowledge means that it means sight that has been retained. Right? Retained sight is called what? It's called knowledge. Praise God. So but he that doeth righteousness, or he that does knowledge, will be what? Will be righteous. So it's possible for one to retain. So it's clear that the truth here, which they hold, is not the truth itself. It's the knowledge of the truth. Because you cannot hold the truth really in unrighteousness. It's like an oxymoron or something. It's like a fallacy. You can't hold the truth itself, because truth really is righteousness. Hallelujah. So what they're telling here is that these guys were able to. Now, when he says also that they had the truth, it also tells you that this truth, not every knowledge is truth. Praise God. That's why you have something called the knowledge of the truth. So those who are ever learning, if they are ever learning, it means they learned. Everybody who learned has some kind of knowing, knowledge of something. But they never arrive at the knowledge of the truth. Truth means that you're not just learning, but you arrive at the exactness of something. It means the real exactness, means the real representation. Now, do you know that God is a God of truth? Praise God. What did I say? God is a God of truth. God is a God of truth. What does it mean that God is a God of truth? God is a God of exact things, precise things. You can't see, they say this is God, and we say this is God too, but you see I'm something else. No. All right? God is exactness. God cannot be assembled in another manner that doesn't hold the same integrity. You get what I'm saying? His essence. And this is the big issue. God is God. Now he wants to give himself to people. God actually wants to distribute himself. That's the great blessings of mankind. That's the quest of the church. That's the quest of Christianity. Praise God. Is for you to have a cut of the distribution of the person of God. God wants to share himself. Hallelujah. So if God wants to give you, it means that God is calling you on a quest for truth. He's calling you on a quest for what? Truth, for exactness. You don't realize that the devil is not really about, it's not really against people engaging with spiritual things. Because he already knows that you are a spiritual being. You have desire. After some time, the natural can only satisfy people so much. They begin to look for other things. And the devil has already gone ahead. But by the time men will start getting interested in the things that are beyond the natural, when the fulfillment that comes from just the externally vain things as God. When men have got realized that there's actually nothing here, they begin to look into the Spirit, right? And he's not afraid of that. He's welcome. You're welcome. You can come. Just you're looking for Spirit to all things, all of that. That's no problem. He has already gone ahead, you understand, to that realm of the Spirit. And he has also designed the way he gifts out. He has designed also plan of distributing spirits. Praise God. Sometimes he's not even afraid of you seeing God or things of God. That's not really what is really scaring him. Like maybe someone going to a meeting where they are talking about the opening up things of God, mysteries of God. That's not really what is really his fear. Where he walks in is how to spoil and souls from the ability to retain the truth. You know, you can learn many things. Many things are being said, right? And then when they're assembled in you, it's not assembled as truth. Are you seeing the difference? Now, when you take that, things of God, but you're gone, but you don't have God. Right? Because of the... You don't have... So it means that just being around the season of where even the ministry of the Spirit and all of those things are does not guarantee your access to the truth. You know, sometimes we can just see things one way. There's Spirit here. They are talking God. And you know when there's Spirit somewhere, you feel it. You know there's Spirit here. That thing is, this is Spirit. You can even feel this is God somehow. But it doesn't mean that interacting there with what? There's something called the administration of truth. It is a secret. It is, that thing is bound up among disciples. Hallelujah. When it comes to God, God is generous with knowledge. He doesn't hide himself. In a sense, what is hidden is truth. Do you understand me? Do you get that? What is hidden is what? What is hidden or what is the treasure? The treasure in the realm of the Spirit is truth. If you are helped to spiritually, you can read nature and you'll be seeing God. But you can't read nature and get truth. Hallelujah. Is somebody understanding me? One thing I'm trusting God is a grace to see very things that are complex. Not because I want to say complex things, but because the things are complex. Do you understand the difference? There's nothing I can do. God is complex. Praise God. Anybody that says that will tell you it's not complex is a 419. What they want to give you is not God. But the grace I'm trusting God for is the grace to say complex things in a simple way. That's what you call utterance, right? That's the power of utterance. And the Lord will help us with that utterance in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. So I was saying that you can read nature, you can see God has imprint of himself in many things, in creation. That's what this place is saying. Amen. So the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, that God can make things seen, but you can see things about God, but not have the truth. So if you want to say, what is the treasure that God is keeping? The real treasure that God is keeping is the truth. The truth. It's the truth. Truth. Truth means the composition of God. Right? Is the what? Truth is not just alone the materiality of God. It is the composition. It's the wisdom of his composition. That wisdom. Those are the things that Lucifer did not know. Right? Lucifer had different things from God. God was too generous when he was making him. It's the all precious stone, full of what? Wisdom, full of beauty, full of... God was generous to him. But there's something that God didn't give to him. Right? God did not give him what? That thing, what constitutes God as an entity? Right? You know, it's the constitution of God that makes God indestructible. That makes, when sin hits God, sin will disappear. Right? That is the core of his incorruptible nature. Why he's not corruptible? Why he doesn't fade? Why he's good in an absolute sense? Why he had no variableness? He has no shadow of turning. Are you seeing all those properties of his nature? They are not just properties of his materiality. Those are properties of what? His composition. Is how is God assembled? That is really the ultimate definition of truth. So are you seeing the task of ministering the Spirit? It's not an ordinary task. The task of ministering the Spirit is not to talk spirit things or to talk about spirits or to just explain things. That can be done, but what will happen is that the truth has not been given because the way it is received on the inside is not the exactness of what God has. Hallelujah. This is one of the things why sometimes our revelation doesn't work. This is the secret of it. Do you understand, sir? This is the reason why you can learn about spirit things. You can learn mercy, but not have the truth of mercy. If you don't have the truth of mercy, you will not be merciful, even though you know about mercy. Praise God. Do you agree with what I'm saying to you? They say they are ever learning, sir. Are you seeing this realm of the Spirit that's open to us that we are in now? This is actually the most difficult realm. If people were getting lost in Christ, what will happen in this land of divine land? It was when Israel got to that land and I discovered that, man, praise God. When we're in wilderness, what was our problem? Hunger, all of those things. We're crying to God. Now we got to a land, we saw beings, entity, giants. The land itself swallows up inhabitants. do you get what I'm saying? What I'm trying to tell you is that a soul can get lost. And this is the reason why with God, they're very particular about people, how you begin to engage the realm of the Spirit. When I say realm of the Spirit, I don't mean the realm. I mean the realm of spirits. Let me put it that way. The realm of the Spirit can just be the place where that is spiritual dimension, where all the spirits are. Praise God. Which is almost kind of the same thing. But when I say realm of spirit, I'm actually talking about the place of natures. Right? All the spirits who are ghosts, who live in the Spirit, who are in the Spirit, there is a realm of spirit where they derive their nature composition, which is spirit. Right? And to begin to interact with those things, to break into the realm of that realm, as I went for Christians, there's actually a kind of, it is controlled. It's not like a Christian. Your life can't be like a Buddhist or a Buddhist or all those people. They can just sit down and just be looking for spirit just like this. They just teach them what to do, how to use your soul to connect with spirit. They go into the realm of the spirit just anyhow because it's just open. They can interact with anything. You get what I'm saying? anything they can interact with. That's why sometimes those souls can have problems. Some of those people, those Eastern religions and those guys, some of the things that's why it's difficult for some of them to be saved. And for some of them, it's difficult for some of them to be cleansed from the things because of things that their parents, their forefathers have done, have interacted with all kinds of entities and all kinds of what? Of spirits. Hallelujah. But as a Christian, they say, no, we'll not just open the spirit to you. Even though you are born again, you have the Holy Ghost in you, it doesn't give you the right as a Christian to just begin to, you know, move into the realm of the spirit and begin to do things. You have to culture you. You have to obey some things first. One thing they will tell you is that before they open the door into the realm of the spirit to you, they must first teach you about things that are in the spirit. That's the reason for precepts. Do you understand? The reason for precept is to what? Is to describe the landscape of the spirit to you, so that when you are having access to the realm of the spirit, you can tell what from what. They would have through precept, they will begin to develop you, your senses, your sight, your smell, your feeling, everything about the spiritual sense, not physical senses. Hallelujah. Your perception of spirit, you can smell a wrong spirit. That's not the right composition. Something can appear to you as mercy. It's a mercy example. But something should tell you that this is not really mercy. Why? Because when you check its vibration, check it. Why do you have one tail somewhere? There's a secret tail. No, I understand the creature of mercy that described in precept. It doesn't have that. That thing is not part of. This is not merciful, sir. Who are you, sir? Question the spirit that this is not. And the spirit can quote to you, yeah, be to the merciful, I'll show mercy. You know, the spirits can quote scripture. You say, no, it's not when one scripture matter. There's something called whole counsel. Right, the purpose of precept is to give you wholeness of counsel. Right, that's the reason for the knowledge of the truth. So imagine somebody trying to move into the realm of the spirit. You don't have knowledge of the truth. It means that you don't have the map or the picture of the exactness of the thing in the spirit which you're supposed to relate with. And which Jesus can be beside somebody and then an evil spirit can be there. You don't think it's possible? It's possible. Jesus is not going to kill all the evil spirit around you because Jesus will say, hey, maybe you feel like, you say, this is now the season of Jesus, his appearance. You can be in the season of the appearance of Jesus, which we are in by God's grace. And when was this season ushered to us? Very, you know, since we've been in this season for some time, but the things that are troubling you, are they still around? They didn't disappear. They're not afraid of appearance. Is it Jesus, you appear, we will appear too. Right? You appear, we also will appear. Amen. And then oftentimes when they come near you, Jesus can be very here. Ah, I'm here, boy. This is all the things you've been praying for. Amen. But another spirit can just be around you so and just say, we know. Hallelujah. So you can see even a season when the Lord is appearing, someone can still be led by other spirits. All right. It's because we have not been fully developed. And I'm not even saying leading of disobedience. I'm saying leading when you feel like this thing you are doing is actually the right thing. The reason is because we have not, our learning is not fully. If you don't have knowledge, you will miss the Lord. And when I say, I don't even, let me not say if you don't have knowledge. If you don't have the knowledge of the truth, if you haven't learned to the point where you have come, he said, come, it's an arrival. It's actually a wonderful arrival. It's a breakthrough arrival when the soul has arrived at the what? The knowledge of the truth. Someone who has knowledge of the truth doesn't miss Jesus. You smell him. You have a sensitivity around seasons of his visitation. Praise God. So you see what the devil is afraid of. What he's afraid of is not just the availability of knowledge of spiritual things. It's about that souls should not have what? Access to the knowledge of truth. He said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath what? Showed it unto them. It takes God. You cannot have manifestation of what should be known of God. That is the knowledge of the truth. Right? There's what you call, they call it through the manifestation of the truth. That is the 2 Corinthians chapter, we commend our chapter 3. Ourselves to every man's conscience, praise God. The manifestation of the truth. Or is it the truth? Or amen. Okay. Sorry, it's chapter 4. I'm so sorry. Not chapter 3. See, but I've renounced the hidden things of dishonor. So that was when, since we have received this ministry, we have what? Let's see verse 1 quickly. Hallelujah. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have, when you say this ministry, is describing the ministry. You know, they spoke about it in chapter 3. They described the ministry generally in chapter 3. Praise God. Then in chapter 4, they began to now go into the specifics of what the ministry is meant to deliver. Right? So he said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but I would have renounced the what? The hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. But, so are you seeing all those things they mentioned, that those are the enemies of truth? Are you seeing that? It's not, enemy of truth is not that which is telling you don't read God's word. No. Don't handle God's word. Fight God's word. No, that's not the enemy of truth. That one is a different thing. That one is foolishness. That one is, right? Because it's a fool that says in his heart, God does not exist. So that complete, it just, that one is, that's a different thing. But when a person has begun to be awakened to wisdom, means they begin to be in some appetite for the things of the spirit, you've actually come into another danger, that it's to some other things. Are you seeing that? So he said we need, what he called these ones, the hidden things of dishonesty. These are hidden things of dishonesty. When they use the word dishonesty, they're not just saying somebody who is lying. You always lie secretly. You're lying. No. Praise God. So what they are saying is that there are hidden things that pertain to dishonesty. Dishonesty is a program. Dishonesty is actually an industry in the spirit. Dishonesty is what? Now, and it is an industry that has a product. What is its product? Lie. They speak about those who make it a lie. They are the workers. They are in this industry. They are partners in the industry of dishonesty. Dishonesty is a grand operation of darkness. That's what is dishonesty, is what Satan is doing. And he's a father. They call him the father of liars. Now, why did they zero in? Why did Jesus zero in on that as Satan's qualification? As if that's the main thing he's doing. That's what he really fathers. That will tell you that all the main investment of his being is against the truth. It's not, there will be a time the evil spirit can't keep men from the realm of the spirit any longer. Just because there's just something about the souls. You're not an animal. You're not a goat. An evil spirit, no. One day, after they throw everything in the world to you, say, we are tired, no, I don't want any more. There's something called spirit. We are now aware of it. Can we have spirit? Do you know that? I was speaking to someone the other time. I was just trying to make a case to the fellow that don't play. This world is changing. Praise God. I mean, even in the physical. Was it you? Who was I talking to? Shaman Kaladamos. Praise God. Hallelujah. So even the world, how you know you are really getting to the end time is that even the world will become spiritual. Everybody will be spiritual. Everybody, even the unbeliever will be spiritual. That will tell you that spirituality is not just a thing of the church, Christians. Spirituality is not the boast of Christianity. At some point, everybody will be spiritual. The boast of Christ, the treasure of Christianity is the truth. It's not that you are spiritual. So, being spiritual is not enough. Have you arrived? Do you know the truth? It's the truth that will make you free. You shall know the truth. And it's the truth that will do what? That will make you free. Hallelujah. So I was saying that this world is not, after some time, and we are getting there gradually, you get to a point where the criteria with which they employ people is spiritual. Is how spiritual are you? And it's not even five. Just give us some years. We'll get there. It's how spiritual. They are not looking at them. They are checking your spirituality. Because those who are interviewing you, they are entities themselves. And they are looking, they are checking your, is this one spiritual enough? When you, normally, before, what you bring is, I went to so-and-so university, cum laude, lad, all those things. I don't know what this, sound like tongues. I don't know those, all those tongues. But people write them on their resume. Praise God. And then you say, I have this one, that one, I learned that one. Degree. They are not looking, thank you, that's nice. But that's not what we are looking for. You know why? Because almost anything anybody is doing right now, artificial intelligence is going to be doing it. Anything that is purely a cerebral function, that can't be your job anymore. Very soon, computers will be doing it. Computers will replace what this cerebral is doing. As long as it's thinking, this thinking, just cerebral thinking, you will not be able to think as fast as a machine. You can't. You will say, even programming, computers will be writing code. All of those things that are just cerebral function, even in the world, those will not be what human beings are doing. They will now need human beings for something else machines cannot do, which is to bring creativity. And creativity means an input from the realm of the spirit. So the companies will be hiring people. They have to check your tie with spirits to hire you. Because if you don't have tie with spirit, ideas will not be coming. They know. So they will have to form some kind of criteria of how to tell a person who has tie with what? Spirit. It means that you must be able to do more than a machine, more than artificial intelligence and all of those things. So that will cause a drive on the earth. Souls will begin to race to cut ties with spirits. How to be creative. Do you get what I'm saying? And a lot of Christians who refuse to pursue the truth will go that way. And to cut ties with spirit doesn't mean that you go to one native doctor and say, is it good? What should we kill? That's not, you know, when I'm talking, you might think that you start seeing shrines and maybe Bronson Center, you just see one. Nothing like that. That's not how you cut tie with spirits. You cut tie with spirits with what? Covenant, with your covenant. When you make decision that come what may, I will be this. His spirit has heard that. That's why you have to be careful with when you just, you set your mind, I must have this thing. You don't know what those things are. Never do that. Never. Never. Never decide that you will get something. It's very dangerous. Whenever you do that, his spirit has heard that. It's actually a covenant you have tied, caught with that word, with that spirit. You just bring a spirit of administration into your life. Everything that has to do with that thing, that spirit will begin to lead you. Okay, no, don't think, don't say that now. No. Do the other one now. Don't go there now. Do the other one. Smile now. No, frown now. It's a spirit. It's for the administration of that decision. Do you get what I'm saying? That you have made in your heart. So the devil, evil spirits, they will train soul. Men, people will be trained on how to take. You know that there's some, you must cut, that thing called creativity doesn't come cheap. Right? The heart, just be around something unserious or anything, you won't be having ideas. But when the heart has, some kind of covenant has been made, you open the heart toward, to the realm of the spirit, and then spirit begin to furnish with ideas. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I was saying, just making a point that being spiritual, and that's why, imagine somebody who says you don't want to be, imagine a Christian who doesn't even want to be spiritual. That's like, you're just, I don't know. That decision not to be spiritual is based on an ignorance and a picture in your mind of what the world is, of a former world. But that world doesn't exist. The world where you can just be like that doesn't exist anymore. Do you get what I'm saying? So, like I said, spirituality is not optional. You'll be spiritual in one way or what? Or the other. The end time is a time of being spiritual. One thing that characterizes the end time is that spirits, right? The spirits drop low, and their influence on men on the earth becomes stronger. Men begin to have greater ties with spirits. While the church is having their own, forces being joined, that's how one of the, those are the prophecies of the end time. Men will begin to learn to join forces with the forces of heaven. Heaven and earth will begin to operate seamlessly at some point in the church, right? Angels will be coming, you will know them, they will be bringing ministry of salvation, right? Going, you will have that thing of angels. He said, I saw angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, praise God. Are you seeing what will happen? Is you see that Jacob's ladder will be set up. That was Jacob's ladder extending into heaven, and angels ascending and descending. That's actually a picture of the end time. Praise God. The reason for that is to bring man into, it's the church mainly. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. It's to bring the church and establish the church. That's what this end time is, to establish the church in a season of wrestling with God. Not bad wrestling. It's wrestling for blessing. It's a time when you, to help to bring the church into a great sensitivity of all the things that are in God. When the church has seen things in God, the blessings, the awesomeness of God, will have what? Power. They will give knowledge first, but the man of knowledge will increase strength, right? That strength, for the Lord will begin to empower the church for the invisible. We are going to get to a point where Christianity will move from the plane and move into the height. What do I mean by that? I mean that you have churches where they have church in the spirit. You get when you come to church, they will congregate. You are seeing them physically, but they are not there. Everybody massively will move into the spirit. You understand what I mean? When you get there, if you don't understand it, you hear the pastor talking. You say, "What is this pastor saying?" You know, nobody is there. Everybody, there's a place where they are talking about the words. Those words with the Holy Ghost teach it. That 1 Corinthians chapter 2, those are not ordinary words at all. You might wonder, why is this man just walking in circle talk? You don't know what he's saying. You don't know that if you can see the souls in the spirit leaping as harps in the spirit, glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Amen. Amen. These things will come to pass. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Things which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual with what? What does it mean to compare spiritual with spiritual? It means you are not touching down. When I say touching down, right? You're not the learning as moved into the spirit. Because you must move into the spirit for encounters with the truth. That's the peak of ministry, where ministry ascends into, is the place where souls in the church can hear the words of Jesus. Huh? Can you hear whose words?
Words of Jesus.
Where he's speaking from. He's no longer speaking from the earth. He speaks from heaven. You must hear him that speaketh from heaven. Hallelujah. The word heaven heaved from a heaved position. He who talks from the height. He who you can only hear. You can't hear without some kind of ascension. That if you don't lift up, right? If you're not able to be heaved up, you cannot hear the voice, the sound of the words of Jesus. Glory to God. Which words are they? Those are the words which he said. He said that the spirit quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. But the words I speak unto you, they are what? They are spirit and they are life. The words I speak unto you. So those words are not ordinary words. Those are height words. They're height words. It's like you can't bear them now. I have things to say. But it's when that spirit of truth cometh, it will begin to guide you into. I think guidance into truth is tied to things. What makes truth special is that truth is tied to him. Him, that is, or it, truth is tied to the things in him. If you love Jesus and you want to have the things that are in Jesus, you must be a lover of the truth. So the industry of lie I was speaking about, or it was talking, that industry of lies, what did they call it there? Dishonesty. And they are not obvious things. They are hidden, it's an hidden industry. In the place where people gather and they are learning word, there can be a hidden industry of dishonesty. Praise God. Right? Is to dissuade the soul from arriving at the what? At the truth. From arriving at the truth. See, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God. Are you seeing? Deceitfully. So to handle the word of God deceitfully means that if the word is being handled, but it is not what? It's not resulting in the knowledge of the truth. It means that what is being produced, it's a kind of a lie. Right? It's a kind of what? Amen. Is a kind of what? What is a lie? That which is not of the truth. That is not, which is not, which doesn't have the composition of the truth. Praise God. Is a lie. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves toward every man's conscience in the... So the way we commend ourselves to every man's conscience is through a manifestation of the truth. What that means is that we teach and minister and minister until what happens, sir? The truth becomes what? Manifest. That is in that is the ministry of the Spirit. That is actually the great point of victory in the ministration of the Spirit, is when the truth becomes manifest. When the truth has become manifest, you will know. Praise God. It is actually the truth. It's the manifestation of the truth that gives you authorization for the realm of the Spirit. Do you understand my message? What did I say? It's what another word for that authorization is what you call liberty or freedom. They set you free for the Spirit. You shall know the truth, or the truth will be manifested to you. Anyone who does not doesn't have the manifestation of the truth is not made free. Are you seeing the kind of freedom? It's not freedom for anything you like. And then actually the sense I'm getting is that freedom is not freedom from sin either. It's actually the freedom for exploits. Freedom for what? So it means that a people who are journeying in the Lord, you must labor, you must do some kind of labor, sir, to get the knowledge of the truth. That's your authorization card for the Spirit. Your authorization card for the Spirit is what? Is the knowledge of the truth. And that's why the labor, there must be a lot of labor. A lot of labor. Do you know that before a soul will begin to interact with certain things in the Spirit, so much labor in the ministration of the Spirit would have gone ahead of time. So a lot of times, before they even begin to deal with you begin to come into entities and encounter of Spirit, you would have labored around the knowledge of those spirits for a long time. What are they dealing with? The hidden things of dishonesty. Those are investments of the devil, of darkness. Now I ask, where do they keep most of these hidden things? Do you think it's somewhere they hide them in the sky? No. Where do they put them, sir? Those are the things, they are stored inside. And they have been sitting down there. You get what I'm saying? The classroom where you're supposed to go and learn the truth, there are some beings who have been sitting there waiting since in that class. They say that, and they know you will come there one day. And when you come to that place of learning, hallelujah, you now begin to realize that when you are learning truth, it's not only the pastor's voice that's talking.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Who else is talking? Hidden things. Say hidden things.
Hidden things.
So it means that message is fighting with hidden things of what? This is to tilt the vision. Is to do something. That's why it's not easy to really... The fact that you are communicating wisdom, it doesn't mean that wisdom is being manifested in the heart. As I, when ministry of the Spirit is ongoing, what people someone can take away is not just a function of what was said. It's a function of all the other things that talk while talking from the Spirit is ongoing. So to deal with the Those things is the operation of manifold wisdom. It must be manifold. There must be a wisdom that confound principalities and powers to the intent that unto the principalities and all what powers might be made known by the church, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known unto the church the manifolded wisdom. The reason for manifold wisdom is the spirit of truth. Are you right? It's the spirit behind truth. Every truth is constructed by manifold wisdom. Why manifold wisdom? It must have a wisdom that has enough folds. It is manifolded. Well, manifold. Say manifolded. What are the folds of the wisdom that pertain to God? They are those things that makes Lucifer unable to catch God when he's trying to pin him down. That's what he's always trying to do. I know you now. This is what you are doing now. I've been tracking you since. Like when he was watching Job, he was watching the Lord and watching Job. He was seeing the dealings in Job. You know, when all those things that God put in Job, that God began to boast about, right? See, the devil was watching those things since. Say, I know you, the Almighty. I know how you operate. I know how what you are trying to do, what you are trying to make this man into. But let me just tell you, it's not going to work. Because this man came from the dust. Ashes to ashes. There's nothing you can do about a dust fellow. There's nothing. But God has things. Do you understand what I mean? It means that all the plot of Satan didn't account for some operations. Why? Because of the wisdom that God was boasting about, the devil didn't really understand. So when he sees Job, he thinks he knows Job. But God is telling the devil, you don't know Job. You don't know what? There are things that Job can manifest that he will manifest to a point you will lose him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, at some point, devil, you know, that Job book is very difficult. There are some ways you can't conclude some things. Like those guys who came to talk to Job. You know, they brought wisdom. That was what they were left to him. We've watched you. We've seen all these things that are happening in your life. We have seen all this stuff. Praise God. And they just felt that they have things to say. You know, the guys who always have things. When they are watching, you're going through some things. They just come and they feel they have what? Am I saying what they were saying? Did it come from God, from devil? Last night, I don't know. The book of Job is higher than me. God has said, praise God. Because when you are reading what they are saying, hey, there's wisdom here. Yay, Jesus. These guys are wise men. Praise God. And boy, you see, those guys came and they talk. And after they finish talking, then one small boy, right? There's just one small boy that was the whole time. I don't know how, maybe who knows how it played out, because they didn't say. Maybe he was around when they were all counseling Job. I don't know who Elihu was. Where did he come from? Elihu the Buzite. Right? Is that not? Elihu the son of Barakel the Buzite answered and said, well, maybe he was around. Maybe he was fetching water or something when they were all talking. I don't know. And then he would just say, I was listening to them. Now, Elihu is a different fellow. He's not as old as this man. These men, they have gray hair. They have wisdom. When you see them, these guys, you know, they are wise. But Elihu is different. Elihu found another tap. Another tap that's not a function of your age. or your experience. So that will tell you that you've not started, no matter how old you are, you've not learned all the wisdom there is. There's wisdom that's more than any experience any man can have on the earth. It's wisdom that comes from another source entirely. Let's see what he said. Elihu, the son of Barakel, Buzad, answered and said, I am young. You are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and does not show you my opinion. It means I was intimidated by your white beards and your white hair. I said that days should speak. Let multitude of years should teach wisdom. Means he was watching. Let this old guy, you've had multitude of years on the earth. Now teach your wisdom. Let me let you teach your wisdom. Say, but there is a spirit in man. Say, but. And the inspiration of what? The Almighty, what does he give? He giveth understanding. Are you seeing this thing they call the inspiration of the Almighty? I feel like this was the thing from where Job was hewn. Now, this, you know, these guys that had wisdom, it's not, they were trying to tell Job what to do. That's not what the problem of Job. God was boasting about are things that were wrought in Job. Job might not have even fully understood the things. You know, the way I consider this thing, you know, I don't know the way I see it. I see Job was a made man. God raised Job. But Job was thrown into controversy, which he has never experienced before. So his problem is that which wisdom should I fetch? And then guys started coming with experience. You know what I'm saying? In other words, what was actually the thing here was, can Job interpret the work in him? Do you get what I'm saying? But these men, they were reading Job, but they are not really reading Job. Right? Until this Elihu came and began to show, and then he spoke. And after this time, then after a while, God began to now come and began to speak to Job. When God began to speak to Job, he began to bring counsel, all kind of things that Job. He said, Job, did you consider this? Have you ever considered this other one? Talking about what was it God using to speak to Job? All the things in creation. Talk about the sea, creatures, the stars, right? Animals, natures, horses, this one, those kind of things that God just, my invisible things. That's what Romans was saying, right? Seen in creation. Those are all the things of him from the creation of the world. The things that he has, God was just showing Job himself, just talking about all of those things. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, do you know that you cannot, when you are going through issues, the answer to your problem doesn't have to do with the issue you are going with. That's one law, one rule that you're supposed to learn as a spiritual person. We are going through problems, and the devil will tempt you, look at that, you see this problem now, okay, what should we do, how should we solve it? That's not the issue. Every problem you are going through is about God. Just know that. Can I say that to you? It's about what? Every problem you are having is about, most likely, a conversation has been had before that problem came. And the Lord was involved in that conversation. So anything you are doing outside God, forget about it. You will just waste your time. You have to look for the interpretation, right? That is the inspiration of the Almighty. Praise God. So there is a spirit in what? Man. And the what? The breath of the what? Of the Almighty giveth him understanding. Now I want to ask you, what does that breath do? The breath is what makes truth manifest in that what it calls understanding. Are you saying that understanding is the establishment of knowledge of the exact thing. You know, that's what the exercise of Job is to. Who will get the exact thing? They kept talking and talking. It means that there were wisdoms were coming out, but the right interpretation of this situation. What is this predicament? And when you take this predicament of Job and map it out in the realm of truth, can you explain accurately? Can you accurately describe what this situation that this man is going through? That thing can only come by the breath of the Almighty. That does what? That giveth understanding. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So if you go to that Romans, so what they were saying there is that, are you seeing those invisible things? Even though they are clearly seen. Okay, let's go to the verse before that, sorry. Verse 18, it said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because, you see, that which may be known of God is manifest in them. They didn't stop there. I think that semicolon is explaining why was that which was being known of God manifest in them? Is because God has shown it to them. God has done what? What you really call what the ministry of the Spirit, right? What you call the ministry of the Spirit. It is for the manifestation of truth. Is to manifest what? Truth. Is to make truth manifest. Praise God. To make truth manifest is not that easy because you are in contention with deceit feeding things of what? Dishonesty. Hidden things. That the exercise of the book of Job was the revealing of hidden things of dishonesty. Or journey to truth. Only truth can defeat Satan. There was an effort around Job for him to summarize his matter deceitfully. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Only truth can bring the correct interpretation of spirit. Right, and when you say spirit is really how things are. In other words, you have a spiritual state. But if we leave you and say, go and fix your spiritual issues, you are bankrupt of it. You can't even read what's actually happening. What are the spirits that are at play? What are the actual deficiency of my soul? When you independently feel this is my problem, it's not your problem. Do you get? Because of hidden things of dishonesty. Those hidden things are hid from you. Right? They are hidden things of what? And that word for hidden things are invisible things of dishonesty. They are also what? Invisible what? Things of who made them invisible? A spirit who crafted them to be in the heart. And they are always, they have input every time you are learning. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when you are, the ministry of the Spirit is trying to deal with those things. How do you deal with those things? You must be subject to manifold wisdom. Right? How do you arrive at the truth of something? You must check it from many sides. There's a way that God does that. It's the manifold word wisdom. Because that wisdom is the wisdom of the composition of those what? Aha, of those spirits. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Verse 19, it says that because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Verse 20, it says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world, you see, they are clearly seen. Now, what is the meaning of they are clearly seen? Does it mean that everybody is seeing them? There's a way you read it, you'll be like, ah, okay, so everything, the invisible things of God, we are clearly seen, so I can go and see them. But we are not seeing them. So that should make you know that's not what they are saying, right? Can we just assume we are seeing them when we are not seeing them? So if we are not seeing, are you seeing them? Amen. So, you know, there's a kind of Christianity people do where they can just assume, just, you know that this world, I created it by myself. And you believe in there every day. Like imagine someone say, I'm seated on the throne, I am with God, I am God, I am. All right? Isn't there a moment where you know, nobody is there, just only you now. Just, you know that this thing I'm saying. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that means that when you know that you're not seeing them, so we'll come back to the verse and say, okay, what is this verse really saying? If you say all the invisible things, they are clearly seen through creation. I say a tree. You know, you can say even the trees talk about God. Okay, when you go and look at a tree, do you what? What saith it? Amen. Say no about the mountains. Say, well, no, when you look at the mountains, they declare the glory of God. I understand. What is the glory of God? What is glory? We are explaining the glory that you are seeing. So you cannot stick that. They are clearly seen. Thank God it's not a full stop. You can't separate clearly seen from being understood. Right? So they are clearly seen when you can understand them. Right? They are clearly seen, being understood. So what you call the understanding is the manifestation of the truth. It's not the glimpse of it. Being understood. So when you are, they are being understood by the things that are made, being understood by the things. So that will clearly tell you that when you look at the things that are made and they are, and you are able to receive breath, say breath, that giveth understanding. Right? So there is a spirit in man and the breath of the Lord. Now, when you say breath of the Almighty, it does many things. That's not all it does. But they're just telling you the beginning, the first thing. Because what they were dealing with are controversies of wisdom. Or controversies of knowledge. Or actually, it was a controversy of knowledge, of the truth. Trying to arrive at the knowledge, a negotiation to get to truth. That was what was going on there. And so when it comes to that aspect, there's an operation of the breath of the Almighty, which will bring about the what? The understanding. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you look at the, so when you see a tree, for example, what about a tree? What about a tree speaks about the invisible things of God? So it's not about looking at a tree. So it's not really about the tree and the things that are made. It's not about that. It's about the breath. So how the understanding you get from things is a function of the breath that is in you. Right? It's the function of what? So what is breath? Breath is the instrument of interpretation. Breath is how you extract truth. Is for the extraction of truth from things that holds kind of representation of truth. You need, without breath, we are helpless. Praise God. Without what? That's one thing that you need this year. Just that they're going to bless When you capture so much breath, you just go out, you'll be in a school of the spirit that never ends. That never ends. You know, you wake up into it, you're sleeping. When you are still sleeping, the breath can still be inside you. Hallelujah. There's a spirit in man, the breath of the Almighty given him. Understand. You need breath. You need breath for truth. You need breath for knowledge of the spirit. You need breath for knowledge of the truth. You need breath for the knowledge of the what? Of the truth. There is a spirit in man, and the breath, the inspiration of the Almighty does what? Giveth him understanding. Praise God. Say inspiration.
Inspiration.
You know, inspiration is breath, right? And that translation was inspire. To inspire means to take in breath. Respire, respirate. Respirate. To respirate is to respirate. You're respirating. Respirate. 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 Respiration. 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 So the inspiration and expiration is respiration. Right? So here they are particularly about the inspiration. The receiving of breath from God. When the Almighty begins to breathe inside your own nostrils of your soul, you are really, really blessed. Right? It means that you are being activated for the exploits of truth. It means they've deemed it necessary to bring you back to the place where Adam woke up from. It means that they've now numbered you among those who they've given another chance. Right? That's the whole thing with men, with the church, is to bring men back. Bring them back to that glorious, awesome occupation. That, you know, that was the task of Adam in the garden. Right? It's for. Can there be a harvest of truth, first of all? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Is to bring water here, harvest. It is with bountiful harvest of truth. That's how you gain commission for life. Of life. You gain commission of what? Of life. Through bountiful what? Or through prosperity of the truth. In other words, that life thing, it has to check you. They have to check. Life only flows into something kind of thing. Hallelujah. Are you getting me? Life only does what? This morning, we're just talking about something. The access, right? It's access. We're actually teaching access, right? When you check it, that's the prophecy. It's a door. That door she was talking about. He's talking about access. It's their principle of access, of how their entrance is being granted. That's what we are teaching. The principle of entrance into the realm of truth. Praise God. That's the first side. Then you now have to, when you have truth, you've got access, you must now begin to learn the principle of flow. Right? There is the principle of what? There's called a principle of flow. Principle of flow. What is really flowing? What's flowing, sir? Truth too. But what's the real thing that's flowing? The real flow of God is life. All right? When I say the flow, I mean, what is the theme? All right? Okay, let me say it this way. What is the theme in the flow of God? That's the best way to put it, right? You don't have to be very accurate because you guys are too educated, so I won't be teaching you wrong things. Amen. Praise God. What is the thing in the flow of God? When you say, hey, God is flowing, oh, right? And then you can watch the flow and learn the flow. That's one thing. But when you now enter the flow to take what is in the flow, there's something in the flow. The thing in the flow is the promise, right? The thing in the flow is something inside the flow. It's life. Revelation 22 call it the pure river of water of life. A pure river of what? Of water. Of what? Of life. But the flow is according to truth. Are you getting what I'm saying? Truth pattern. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Or what I'm saying is that the flow is designed to carry it's designed to hold the truth, to make the composition of truth. It carries the composition of truth. The life is the vitality of that composition. Or what it was composed for. Are you understanding me somehow?
Yes.
I'm trying to use a different other language to show you realities in this. But what is the mechanism of the flow itself? The mechanism of the way is called way. The mechanism of the flow, it means how it flows, is the way. Do you understand what I mean? The composition, or when I say composition, I mean are you getting what I'm saying? Is the truth. Praise God. Now, everything I've described to you, they have to be learned. When you are learning it, you are not really in the flow. You are not really in all of those things. Those are things that the learning will give you access to do what? To encounter. Right? What do you call it, sir? Liberty. Liberty. Have you seen that thing called liberty? There's what you call the glorious liberty of the sons of God. You can't get there unless you have been delivered from the bondage of corruption. You must be delivered from the bondage of corruption, and then it will be translated into, brought into that. The glorious, because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into where? Into the glorious liberty of the children of God. It's the glorious liberty. You want this liberty, they didn't call it even of sons. The word children means those who are still learning God. You learn God with a kind of liberty. If you don't have that liberty, you can't learn God. Why? What makes you unable to learn God without liberty? Why? It's because of the beginning of learning God is your capacity to align with a way. You need with a what you call it? With a flow. It's the ability to align with a flow. That's what, when it comes down. So what it means, the reason, what is knowledge preparing you for? To flow. And it's so that when you start flowing, you won't be flowing. Amen. Imagine a man now begins to flow in the spirit. Where will he flow? It's according, there's a way that seemed right unto him. But now he will just find a way that seemed right and start flowing. But that way will not be according to, it will not be a truth way. In other words, it won't arrive at truth. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Are you blessed today?
Yes, sir.
We don't have any more time, Shay, Jimmy. Where's Jimmy? Right? No more time. Praise God. The Lord will help us. This will be a year of... You will learn, we will learn, and then we'll be having access. We'll be having breakthroughs. The Lord, and we'll be safe. The Lord will give us safety. Thank you, Father. We give all the glory. Oh, Makesi Farah Mataza. Alem Fahu praise. Alika Noske Priya. Alika Noste Priya. Kalia Vahoste. Kalam Prote Efarahamo. Aligonora. Aligonora. Eligonora. Esevrenora. Alika Hendenora. Ilim Pansosive Ontefiendonora. Akeremesi. Akeremesi. Thank you, Jesus. Omahasos. Amehasos. Enika tonsos, emeta ontia kapanosos, efata in kilementosios, ientapa oliproste, emian your sos, esasian toman your sos, emanto give a saha, emanto give a saha, emanto give a saha, emanto give a saha, emianta cabarento, sive brevediga, avinson teba, efata, enfeta, efare, atelesto, etelase. The Lord. The Lord said, I'm going to become your source. I'm going to unplug you from when you've been plugged before and plug you into myself. That I will teach you how to begin to fetch flow from me. You begin to leave that mode of life. He said, in him we live and move and have our being. You're going to have your being in him this year. This year you're going to discover your true being. You will find your being in God. You will be so tied to, you won't be able to break out of him. Living outside him will be an impossibility to you. You have so much tie and so much affinity even to God. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. We give you glory. Thank you, Jesus, for you have blessed us. You will continue to bless us. You have flung the door wide open, the door of blessing, the windows and doors of heaven. Open over us. Thank you. Shekama Eli Kapata Estaparohona. Thank you, our God. We give all the glory and praise to your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.